Involved Financial Group.
Hour two of your Monday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. You want to take part in the program? Phone lines are open, 651-989-5855 or #250 on any mobile device and just say TCNT. Also, keep using that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We keep an eye on that throughout the show.
Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty and host of the Langer Cast, joins us, powered by Randy's Electric. Did you have a good weekend, Andrew Langer?
Yeah, I mean, listen, and I apologize for not being around last week. We got back from doing our first round of college visits, which is just fascinating, but it's always good to be back.
Yeah, seriously, that's got to be, I know that, like, you know, looking ahead at Logan and depending on what he wants to do, because he wants to be a pilot, I imagine that especially within your line of work and your commentating and talk show hosting, that's got to be a rather eye-opening experience visiting these colleges that obviously are very much looking to, you know, bring in your student.
Well, there is that, you know, there's always sort of watching how these colleges sell themselves with a critical eye towards how they focus on the politics of the day. Thankfully, my daughter hasn't experienced something that one of my other friends' kids did, which was when they were in their college interview, their son was asked specifically, "What are you doing to address your white privilege in how you live every day?" And, you know, we've spread the conversation amongst all of us. How would we encourage our kids to react to such a question? And there are no easy answers. I mean, you know, so we've had that. I had a really interesting experience where one college video, I was, by the end of the video, convinced that the only students who were there were men of color and women. There were no pictures in this video of any young white men.
Wow. That it's interesting because this kind of fits into where we wanted to go. We'll talk about the DHS secretary, but we want to start off talking about Biden. And if you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, not you, Andrew Langer, because you're on the phone with us, but when you listening have a chance, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, the Justice and Drew page, and you can check out the SNL sketch from over the weekend that actually took aim at Joe Biden and with Jason Sudeikis playing Biden. And it actually, I sent it to Drew this morning and asked him, because I was chuckling at it. I find Jason Sudeikis rather funny, but I wanted to get a second opinion, because I was like, okay, how much of this am I laughing because it's actually legitimately funny, and how much of it am I laughing because they're making fun of Joe Biden? And there was a sense of, it was genuinely funny on, you know, sort of in terms of SNL standards. But I made a list of sort of interesting things about it. And one of the things I pointed out was, you know, they don't make fun of AOC, which is an easy, easy target. And you could absolutely parody her and it would be hysterical. But if you're old and you're white, even if you're Joe Biden, you're still an acceptable target. Yeah. And they can go after you.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, let's remember, the only person, as clear as I can tell, who started talking about this when it was happening is Jon Stewart. There's a really great Jon Stewart video floating around over the weekend of him taking Biden to task back in 2014 for his grabby personality. This is something that we've all known about for quite a long time. And so this idea that only now SNL is picking up, I think you're absolutely right. It's because Biden is an easy target. And listen, this is what gets to me is, you know, we are seeing this, you know, with regards to Biden. We've seen it with Beto. We're going to see it with Pete Buttigieg, or however you say his last name. Mark
Buttigieg.
My words, once Pete Buttigieg starts rising in the polls, as he is starting to do, you will see the attacks on him as well. Even though he is a member of the LGBTQIA community,
it is interesting to see, you know, sort of where the attacks come from and who they're targeted at, and it tells you, you know, I still operate under the assumption that there's a fair amount of sort of collusion, you know, within the DNC when it comes to their nomination process. And I think a lot of these attacks are evidence of that based on who they're attacking. When Amy Klobuchar, you know, got ready to announce, all of a sudden all the pieces, you know, from left-leaning publications started coming out against her. Same with Joe Biden. Which you haven't seen it against, you know, the Kamala Harris. You haven't seen these attacks against Cory Booker. You know, there are a handful of candidates that seem to be above the fray when it comes to these attacks, and I can't help but wonder if it's because, you know, those are the candidates that the DNC really wants to see ascend to the nomination.
Well, that's exactly it, Drew. You get this, whoever is in charge of the DNC and whatever the preferred candidate of the person who is in charge of the DNC, that is the person who will be protected. And that's why, yeah, I mean, it is, you know, if I'm Pete Buttigieg, I know I just love keep saying it because I think I now know how to pronounce it. If I'm Mayor Pete, I should be particularly worried. And if I'm not, then I'm an idiot. Because yeah, he's going to be the next, he is sort of the next flavor of the month for moderate Democrats. And he's no moderate, obviously. But you know, moderate Democrats looking for a sensible alternative, the radical progressive left is gonna just tear him apart.
There doesn't seem to be any consensus yet, and I'm curious to get your take on it when it comes to Buttigieg, whether he is just the flavor of the week, you know, the shiny new toy, so he's getting a lot of attention, and he's making the rounds on the media outlets, and so people are interested in what he has to say. Should we be taking him seriously at this point, or is he just going to get some attention and then kind of fade away?
I mean, listen, I think we should take him seriously, because, you know, it is in a field like this, anything can happen. He is as radical and dangerous as any of the other Democrats, only with a nicer personality, and he's slightly less threatening because he, you know, has a Harvard pedigree and is from Indiana. But, you know, here's the thing that I come back to, which is, wasn't there this massive criticism of Sarah Palin because essentially all she'd really done was been, you know, briefly mayor of Alaska, but yeah, had served as the, I'm sorry, governor of Alaska, but before that she'd only served as mayor of Wasilla, Alaska. I seem to remember this great criticism of her. We're now past that.
And she was only on the ticket as the VP candidate.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the criticism was, you know, what if something happens to McCain? Is it really responsible to put somebody with so little experience in that position where they could ascend to the presidency? Now you got a guy who all he's done is won the mayorship of South Bend, Indiana. And in what mind do you go, all right, you know, I'm mayor of South Bend, you know what's next, president?
Well, it's interesting because there is this complete myth surrounding him and what he's done. You know, this idea that he's actually, quote-unquote, turned around South Bend is nonsensical, given the fact that, you know, yes, part of South Bend has been gentrified as though, you know, I can't believe we use the term gentrified and South Bend, Indiana, but apparently we are. But, you know, South Bend is like most other Democratic cities, Democrat-run cities, is mired in tremendous problems.
Well, this seems, at least in my opinion, it seems to continue to speak to the lack of confidence that, at least for those that are pushing the narrative in the stories, right? I won't speak to the larger Democratic base of voters out there, but just the vocal part of the Democratic Party right now. It speaks to the lack of confidence that they have in the existing candidates, especially when you're faced with the number one question of who can go and beat Trump. So I'm not surprised, and I found an article here from New York Post. Apparently, at least according to this, it's boot edge edge. Like, I thought they spelled it out. Boot edge edge.
Yes.
But I think it speaks to sort of this quick popularity of an individual like this, 37 years old, deeply religious guy, seems to be liked by everybody, even though he's a mayor. To me, like, if you're a Bernie Sanders, I would somewhat look at this and look at the rising quick popularity of an individual like this and kind of go, yeah, I got a lot of support and I'm bringing in a lot of money. Same thing with Beto. But, you know, there's a vocal part of the party that doesn't believe and isn't convinced that I can beat Trump.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it is, there's going to be a real self-delusion on the part of any Democrat going in, thinking that they can beat Trump. That's the thing that Buttigieg has, is that he is, out of, I think, all of them, he is very much the anti-Trump candidate. But, you know, it is a situation where the real debate is going to be, because AOC won in New York and you've got a couple of progressive, seriously progressive candidates winning, that this can demonstrate that a truly radical progressive candidate, can win. And I would refer everybody to a piece that was put up in one of the Omaha papers over the weekend. Not that I am commending people to read Omaha newspapers. But former Senator Bob Kerry has a really interesting piece about sort of Democrat self-delusion and how basically if Democrats think that what America is wanting is to have to pay more for a larger, more intrusive government, then they really are deluding themselves.
Joe Biden still hasn't announced, right? I just want to make sure he still hasn't made it official. Do you think, because he hasn't, right? I just want to make sure that I didn't miss it over the weekend. Okay.
He has all but said he's running, and his campaign seems to be literally mirroring the TV show Veep, which I haven't watched last night's episode yet, but I'm just so glad that Veep is back.
Is there any chance that he doesn't? Do you think at this point in time, do you think he looks at all this? I'm not just using SNL. I'm just saying just in general, there's been quite a bit of controversy in this rollout. I'm wondering how much the Joe Biden, you know, team expected any of this. And I wonder how much of the fact that we haven't gotten an announcement yet is Joe kind of sitting back going, well, you know, I mean, unless he's waiting for Avengers Endgame to be released before he goes.
I think so long as Joe Biden has money in the bank, Joe Biden will be running and he does have his backers. So I don't see Biden getting out before the first major televised debate, because Biden knows that in this day and age, if you are a Democrat politician, all you need to do is wait for the news cycle to turn and you're home free.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you guys, because I'm watching this with the mayor of Baltimore. She is waiting out the news cycle. And we just had, I know most just folks aren't following this.
Look at Virginia.
The mayor of Baltimore is just caught up in this massive pay-for-play scandal. And, you know, the saving grace for her is that the Speaker of the Maryland House of Representatives died last night, or yesterday afternoon, the day before their legislative session ended. And so this is like she is doing a happy dance right now because all the attention is going to be off of her for the next week or so.
One last quick point, and this is more for Drew, but on this SNL a bit. Drew, was there a detailed breakdown in the Star Tribune this morning? I didn't see. Did you see? I don't know if there was. Yeah. I'll have to look.
No, you're right. Usually, Sunday morning, right. You know, The Hill and the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, they're very quick to make whatever happened on SNL into a news story.
I'm not seeing last night or Saturday, you know, I'm not. Usually it's Monday mornings.
And they made fun of Joe Biden, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we missed it.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Hey, in the time that we have left, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen stepping down amid massive overhaul. I'm looking on Twitter, some commentary around it. Steve Deese, who I believe we all know, I like his opinion quite a bit. He says Nielsen finally being ejected is long overdue, and we'll see if Trump is serious about backing his border rhetoric with action, depending on who her replacement is. This does seem like in the middle of another emerging crisis, especially with the weather shifting in this time of year, it seems to be a precursor to Trump really wanting to do something tangible in regards to immigration, as opposed to keep asking for permission to do something tangible.
Yeah, I guess. Listen, I thought Nielsen was doing a pretty good job as Homeland Security Secretary. I feel bad if this is sort of an engineered palace coup. Then again, she has been under a tremendous amount of pressure, and she's probably really tired of it. And I don't know if they're still protesting outside her house on a daily basis, but that that gets tiresome, and you sort of throw up your hands and ask, why am I doing this? I think obviously the president wants to really get something done. She may very well be pushing back on trying to do things administratively, in which case it's time for her to go. Here's what I know. I know that the Democrats have finally, or some Democrats, are finally shifting their rhetoric somewhat on this. It's fascinated me. I was listening last weekend to Cokie Roberts on Morning Edition on National Public Radio. And she, Cokie Roberts, you know, a progressive through and through, admitted that, things had exploded at the border in the last few weeks, and that March had the highest level of border crossings in a decade. And I think if, you know, you're getting Cokie Roberts saying that, oh, my God, there may be something happening here, then I think it's, you know, it's time for the administration to go on the offensive and do something about this.
Andrew Langer, Institute for Liberty, thank you so much for your time. Always enjoy our Monday chats. And thank you to Randy's Electric for sponsoring this segment each and every Monday.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Take care.
Coming up, we'll keep on the topic a bit. Got a couple of comments to make in regards to the Homeland Security Secretary stepping down. California's Governor Gavin Newsom is traveling to Central America to examine the root causes of migration.
Mm.
What? What? Why?
These aren't birds. They're not like instinctively hardwired. Like, oh, I got to go to America now. It's that time of year.
We'll also talk about after our
wander up to America
after our Minnesota moment with Jason Lewis. How Minnesota lawmakers are moving to give illegal
FM 103.5.
Your Monday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. 651-989-5855 is the phone number if you want to take part in the program. Your Minnesota Minute with Jason Lewis coming up just at the end of this segment, and that'll be in about 8 or 9 minutes from now, and then he'll join us an hour from then at 8:35. Looking forward to that conversation.
So the new CBP commissioner, he's the current CBP commissioner, which is getting me all screwed up with our conversation over CBD oils earlier. McAleenan, weird name. He's now taken over for the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who's stepping down amid what the Washington Post is calling a massive DHS overhaul. CBS reported about Nielsen's possible resignation over the weekend. This massive overhaul is designed to take the Department of Homeland Security in a tougher direction, more in line with Trump's campaign rhetoric. CBS says the move is orchestrated and engineered by the White House advisor Stephen Miller, who's encouraged Trump to take a very tough line on immigration. And there's actually a subsequent lengthy piece out of the Washington Examiner that gets into that very point about Stephen Miller and how, in their estimation, he was the architect behind this sort of resignation / ousting of Kirstjen Nielsen. Drew, I think the point you made earlier was spot on, that, you know, and Trump has the momentum on his side right now. The wind is in his sails. Yes. And so as he looks towards next year, I think he's like, I got time now to do what I need to do. When my base wants me to do something about immigration, I better start doing something.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's got to be a level of frustration there. You know, Congress, when he had Republican majorities in both houses in Congress for the last 2 years, they didn't get the things done that they should have gotten done. And now he's got a Democrat majority in the House, so he's got no chance of getting anything substantive passed through the House. And he realizes he's got to take every opportunity here for this next year and a half before the next election to continue to move forward on as many campaign promises as he can, and to take some bold action. And he's got the political capital now to spend to get some things done. Don't think for a second that there aren't politics involved in this move at all. This is about setting the table and setting the narrative going into 2020.
And according to the Washington Post, out of the Washington Examiner article, they talk about Stephen Miller, who, along with the ICE union head Chris Kane, had complained about the Thursday nomination of Ronald Vitello to lead Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Trump told reporters Friday that he, however, wanted somebody tougher in the top immigration enforcement role. Miller, who joined Trump's presidential campaign back in 2016, remains one of the last top aides from those days to remain in the White House, has a hard-line view of immigration in line with Trump's tough rhetoric during the campaign and his administration. Artel Cueto, National Border Patrol Counsel, who we've had on the show quite often, obviously an expert in this. You know, one of the things that we've talked about over the past 2 years is, and Kirstjen Nielsen isn't in this category, but I think it speaks to the larger issue when it comes to immigration enforcement, of how many Obama holdovers are still serving in official capacities when it comes to our border enforcement, and how they've been somewhat, you know, tied down and being able to do what a lot of border, you know, patrol officers and immigration and customs enforcement agents want to do because
they've been,
of that.
They've been obstructionists.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they've been. And we've had Artel Cueto on the show a number of times. He got mentioned in a Trump tweet not that long ago. And he's, that's been the refrain from him constantly. So, you know, ever since the election, is that you've got to weed out all of those holdovers before Border Patrol is able to actually do their job.
I feel like we're just like a stone's throw from being mentioned in a Trump tweet. Like we've got like we're right
so close.
You know, you've got like, you know, it's
we're like
just
2 degrees of separation.
Yeah. Like we know Art really well, and like James and Nick have both been to the White House a few times, and
like
Pete Hegseth's got, you know, I just feel like we're like
Pete's met with him a few times.
It's just a breath away.
Just right there with a little hard work we can get our names mentioned in a Trump tweet. In her resignation letter, Nielsen wished her successor good luck at border security. I hope the next secretary will have the support of Congress and the courts in fixing laws which have impeded our ability to fully secure America's borders, which have contributed to the discord in our nation's discourse. She's right. And, you know, I mean, we can keep banging that drum of watershed moments. But, man, if we're going to do anything about immigration enforcement and immigration reform, Trump or nobody, man, there's nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen either, you know, in the next 2 years or assuming, you know, Trump wins reelection in his next term, it's done. Just give up the fight.
Yeah. It's going to remain status quo.
Yeah.
Out of Fox News, well, unless eventually, you know, if California Governor Gavin Newsom ever wins the White House and he can just open up the borders completely, he's heading to El Salvador this month to meet with lawmakers to get to the root cause of why Central American migrants make the arduous journey to the United States.
We need to just
ask them.
Yeah, we need to study their patterns of migration. We need to
every week
they put trackers on birds. Let's put trackers on some of them. Track where they're going. How long it takes them to go?
I think it's a really wrong. Bad idea.
We need to build a Viking stadium, like right in the middle of Mexico.
Oh.
No, every week there's journalists, you know, there's people Windows. For the, you know, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. They send reporters down there, and they travel along with these caravans, and they report from them over and over. Just ask them.
Right.
Just, I mean, you don't need to.
Go on YouTube and watch a video, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. I looked this morning.
It's not like they're being all secretive.
No.
You know, like, hey, we're a caravan. We're coming in mass. There's a lot of us.
So when I point this way.
They're not sneaking around.
Conditions in that direction, they suck. they really suck. But so
then, when I point north.
That direction.
Right.
It could be better. Sucks. Potentially better.
Yeah.
Done.
And the reason why they're going this route rather than, you know, actually following our immigration laws is because they know, because they've been told by people with, you know, with agendas that all you got to do is claim asylum. Once you get across that border and Border Patrol, you know, Border Patrol is going to pick you up. Just claim asylum and then you'll be fine.
Look, it's irrelevant that the California governor, Gavin Newsom, is going to Central America
it's a stunt.
To find the root causes.
Yeah.
He can't He can't do anything about it. From a policy standpoint, it changes nothing of what he's already doing in California. And look, it is a stunt.
It's a total stunt.
It's nothing. It absolutely changes nothing when it comes to enforcing our laws. His opinion's not and views not going to change. He must have. Is he using like a gift certificate that he didn't travel certificate or miles that he wasn't? He figured he'd take advantage of it. I don't know.
There's some like all inclusive resort there that he's. Well, while I'm here, at this resort, I figure out the root causes. Give me a break.
Yeah,
the root cause is because it's pretty great here. That's the root cause.
Yeah.
It sucks there. It's great here. And I'd rather be here than there. And so would everybody who's there would rather be here.
I'm going to travel to Anaheim and find out the root cause of why people go to Disneyland.
If Trump's so bad, why does everybody want to come here?
Right. All right. Coming up, Minnesota lawmakers vote to give illegal immigrants driver's licenses. We'll give you some details about that. Also, hopefully later on in the hour, time, if not, we'll do it in the 8 o'clock hour. City Pages talking about the Green Line made a rather interesting admission. I thought it was a joke at first. No, it's not a joke.
No, they aren't joking.
That's not a joke at all.
Totally serious.
Yeah, gotcha.
But first, here is today's Minnesota Moment with Mr. Wright, Jason Lewis.
30 on 103.5 FM.
Yeah. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Welcome back, Justice and Drew, for your Monday edition. Jason Lewis joins us in just about an hour from now.
I was telling Drew just a moment ago. We'll go there. I don't know. Whatever. So this week is the big Star Wars celebration convention,
right?
In Chicago. Starts on Friday, goes all the way. Actually, well, it starts technically on Wednesday, but all the events start happening on Friday, and it goes through Monday. So this is one of those weeks where Melinda being gone is actually a really good thing for me because I'm busier taking care of the boys. It'll help the week go by faster. The Episode 9 panel, which is the big one, that starts at 11 a.m. our time. They're going to live stream it on Friday. And the expectation is that we'll get not only the first trailer, but also the title of the movie. And obviously for Star Wars fans, it's a huge deal. And Drew goes, what if they don't show anything? And I just said, they will burn Chicago down. Like, I can't even fathom right now, just from the fandom standpoint, and nobody, like, in the public, in the sort of the public sphere, nobody's aware of this, but like internally in the fandom, like, it's a desert right now.
Oh.
Like, the fans are just starving. And they have made no official announcements of anything that we're going to be getting over the weekend, apart from there being an Episode 9 panel. But everybody is just assuming that it's going to happen, because it's happened every other time that we've had a movie coming up.
You want a trailer and a title, or just a title, or...
I think at this point, anything.
It'll be anything.
I think that it's been like months of you saying, like, you know what, this is the day.
I know.
We're going to get the title.
I know.
And every time I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, cool. And nothing.
No, they've intentionally starved the fandom. That's what they've done. And it's worked to a T. But if they do it past Friday, they will bury the convention center.
It's like if they don't do it on Friday, I don't know when they would.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like not even why
bother?
Why bother at all? So that's my world right now.
I can't help but be entertained.
I know. It's entertaining.
I mean, it doesn't matter. The movie's going to come out when it comes out, and you're going to go see it.
Okay, now you shush.
What if they don't give it a title?
I get you both shush.
Untitled Star Wars project.
Yeah, what if they don't even put out any trailers?
I know. There are people out there that say that. I'm like, don't you dare.
Do you think they do that? Has any movie ever done that?
No. No. This is as close as you'll get, is this right here. But they're taking, something that is sort of in everybody's wheelhouse, and that's Avengers Endgame, right? Mm-hmm. That when you look at the marketing that they've done for Avengers Endgame, which comes out in 3 weeks, I mean, they released like next to nothing.
Yeah.
In regards to promotion for that film. No. It's
going to
make all the money.
It already has.
They've been promoting it through every single Marvel movie that's come out in the last however long.
Yeah.
Yeah. 26 something movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Led to this culmination. And yeah, no, they don't need to put a trailer out for that. I didn't care. I mean, I was happy to watch it when it came out and it was cool, but it wouldn't have affected whether or not I'm going to go see it, you know, at the first opportunity or not.
Right. My fandom is just the way that I like it is I love the speculation and I love the talking about it. And so to take that away, is taking away a part of my fandom. All right. Minnesota lawmakers out of the Pioneer Press approved a measure that would allow illegal immigrants in the state to obtain a driver's license. The bill, which passed Democrat-controlled state House 74 to 52, largely along party lines, represents a massive political victory for state Democrats who've been pushing for the expanding the basic rights of illegal immigrants.
How is it a massive political victory when it probably doesn't stand a chance of getting through the Senate?
Right. Well, I mean, step one's a massive political victory.
Yeah.
It's a massive political victory in their ultimate motive. Look, the only reason they're doing this is because they want votes. That's the only reason why they want to do this. Mm. They want to be able to give this particular demographic of people the ability to go and vote, and they're convinced that they'll vote for Democrats, and this is the only reason why they're pushing for this. There is no, strip away all the, they can get a license and then they can get a bank account. And what about a social security card and a birth certificate? Just strip all that away. It's all about votes.
They've even dropped the veneer of like caring about their status. It's like laws just don't matter. They just don't matter. I mean, you know, Ryan Winkler's quote in here, immigrants, whether they are documented or undocumented, are Minnesotans. They are part of the fabric of our communities.
Yeah, they live here.
Yeah, they live here.
That means nothing.
Right, but if they're here illegally, then that needs to be remedied.
Right.
One way or another. You know, you can't just ignore the fact that they're here. Well, I guess you can. If you're DFL, it doesn't matter.
It is time that we help to take away the shadow of not having a driver's license. Those that are here in the country illegally don't need to have a driver's license, and you can thank a majority of Democrats and the DFL for that because there is public transportation, and there's a lot of public transportation. So
you've spent millions and millions and millions of our dollars on a robust public transportation system.
Yeah. You don't need to have a driver's license to get around. They've done a really good job of that.
They should be fighting against driver's license because then it'll get people on their stupid trains.
Right. Well, look, and I'm going to go there, but think about the hypocrisy here. You've got Governor Tim Walz that wants to increase the gas tax for all the ridiculous reasons that he's putting forward. But the big one is to get people out of cars. Right? To reduce people driving, get people more dependent on public transportation and choo-choo trains and whatnot. So you got that happening in one breath, and then in the next breath, you got, you know, Ryan Winkler out there going, "It's get him out of the shadow of not having a driver's license." So it's not okay for you and me to drive, but if I'm an illegal alien, then by all means, give me a license so that I can go driving around.
All right.
Democrats in the state have long argued that giving illegal immigrants access to driver's license gives them the ability to contribute more to society, such as enrolling in school or having access to work. Goes on to say it's common sense. According to Democrat Representative Samantha Vang, this will allow people to simply open a bank account to drive safely on the road to their jobs and to their school. What bank allows you to open up a bank account with just a driver's license? That's it? Well, you know,
probably not a sketchy one.
Piggy? The piggy bank?
Doesn't this fly in the face of all their arguments against voter ID, too? You know, I mean, we've been saying for a long time we need to have a little more integrity, make sure that the people are showing up to vote are who they say they are, that they are registered and everything. And then it was like, no, getting an ID is too hard. Getting an ID, you are putting up a nearly impenetrable barrier to voting for so many people if you just simply require that they have an ID. But apparently when it comes to driver's license for illegal immigrants, it passes the House, and it's just common sense. Now they can do all these wonderful things.
As Drew said, the bill is not expected to clear the Republican-controlled Minnesota Senate. Newly elected Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat previously served as the representative in the House, has not indicated whether he would sign the bill or not. Doubling back to the conversation we were having about DHS and the and Christian Nielsen stepping down, interesting too that so much rhetoric and criticism of President Donald Trump and labels of, like, you know, being a racist for his stance on you know, whether it's the refugee ban or whether it's immigration. I feel like they've already burned out. I know they'll still bring it up, and I know it still gets used, but I feel like the left pushed that so often, and we've seen this happen a lot. You keep crying racism over and over and over again, it ends up losing its effectiveness. And I think that the effectiveness of the left's criticism of Trump when it comes to border issues has been lessened quite a bit just because they hammered it so hard. I think it's white noise for a majority of voters, left and right.
Yeah, no, they have. I hate to say jump the shark.
Well, sure.
It's very cliche.
Right.
Yeah, that argument, that tone, it really is only resonating with the group of people that it's always resonated with. It's not, especially, you know, with the Mueller investigation ending the way it did, it's really kind of fallen on deaf ears now.
Well, and you think about the reason why that happens. I think a big part of it is, and this is to speak to pushing back on those claims, right? Because sometimes it just gets tedious to do so, but when you have a party, you know, crying racist orange man bad over and over and over again, you also have a base of supporters who are challenging those arguments, especially when it comes to things like immigration, about how this is not about individuals or racism. This is about enforcement of the law. And I think one of the biggest reasons why it ends up jumping the shark is because you do have a lot of voices out there that are countering the narrative. And even for the individuals that still hate Trump and still believe he's a racist, that stuff cuts through. And eventually, I think a lot of people, a lot of the anti-Trump crowd just gets reduced to, okay, fine, whatever, I still don't like Trump. Right. And that's why eventually it just ends up losing its power and ability to go and you know, change people's opinions.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. You want to comment on this. Also, you can use #250 on any mobile device. Let's go to Eric in Uptown. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys. Maybe you can explain something to me, because I really don't understand this part of the whole immigration driver's license, all this stuff thing. I mean, what do you have? Do you have to give them some kind of documentation to show them that you're an illegal immigrant to get a license? I don't understand how you walk in,
I
guess, and say, hey, because I go into the DMV, they ask me for 4 forms. I actually had to go back to my house and get something else and go back. If I walked in and just said I'm illegal, I crossed the border illegally, I want a license, can I get one? I know it's funny.
I don't know.
I'm serious. How do you do that?
I think the mechanism, one, isn't in place yet. So to answer your question, and thanks for calling in, Eric, if they were able to get this through, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that it passes the Senate and Walz signs it, and if you're here in Minnesota illegally, you can go and obtain a driver's license. What they'll end up producing is either on the existing forms or they'll add new forms. When you go to fill those forms out, Drew, will be required to present all the criteria that we still have to. But for an individual who's in the country illegally, there'll be either a separate form or another place they'll be able to go and sign. And probably what they'll have to produce is something that shows, like, a resident. Proof of residency that you're actually here living in Minnesota with your name on it. A couple of proofs of residency, and they'll do up paperwork. And that's exactly how that would end up playing out. Yeah. We'll still be required. Give blood.
I just want laws to matter. That's all.
Right.
I just want the laws that are on the books to actually matter. You know, and if you're going to ignore or choose not to enforce certain laws, then work to get them off the books. Don't just ignore them and then selectively enforce them when it meets your criteria or fits your agenda. The only way to know if laws are actually effective and work, or if they're bad laws and they're punishing people who shouldn't be punished, is to actually go out there and enforce them
right
to the letter. That's all I want. Wherever this immigration debate finally ends up landing, I've certainly got my, you know, idea of how I'd like to see it go. But wherever it goes, can we just agree that whatever the laws end up being, that's what we're going to enforce?
And when it comes to the Minnesota legislature doing this, There isn't an urgent need. People are here in the country illegally. They've been here in the country illegally for a long, long time, and they are currently living their lives, and you have developed you've spent a lot of money, again, developing public transportation that plenty of people can use.
Yeah, and why is the onus, why is the responsibility on the Minnesota legislature to change its rules to accommodate people who are here illegally? Why is that their responsibility now? They have to change the rules to accommodate people who either can't or won't, you know, rectify their immigration status. They want to keep things status quo. They don't want to have to work to change anything, to change, you know, to maybe they have to go back to their country and re-enter the country. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, if they want the driver's license and they want all the benefits of being in this country, then the responsibility lies on you.
Right.
To go and make sure that your status is what it needs to be to do what you want to do.
Let's go and talk with Steve in Maple Grove. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have just a quick deal. I renewed my driver's license in January, and on the form, on the top page of the form, it says, do you have a Social Security number, yes or no? And, of course, you flip it over, and on your copy, there's no such question. And so I asked everybody, hey, can I get a driver's license without a Social Security? Nobody would answer me. So I'm wondering if they can't already do it, and they're sneaking it through. And the other comment back, when Al Franken was elected, you know, 19 precincts had more voters than they had people registered. So Democrats have been doing this crap forever.
Well, on the I don't know about, thanks for the call, Steve. I don't know about the about what those that are here in the country illegally now can and can't do. I know there's certain IDs I believe you can still get. But the DFL in the House, they know it's not going to pass the Senate. You know, and to the previous phone caller, Eric, about how are they going to go and implement it, they don't have to give any answers right now, you know, and I don't think anybody's really asking them how they would go and implement it, because you don't really want to open up, you don't really want to go and open up that, that particular door to debate when you know the Senate's just going to go ahead and shoot it down anyhow.
We got a few more people on hold, 651-989-5855, including Rob Dorr, so stay on the line, stay on hold, we will